Our Father, we would ask humbly that you might open your word to us, that we might understand it and believe it and obey it and trust it. We would ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Please open God's word with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Our text today are the verses 21 through 24 as we're going through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 21 through 24. And also 31 through 33. We'll also be looking at Genesis chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 2 as well. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 21, this is God's word. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Verse 31. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The New Jersey Marriage Report, Index of Marital Health reports, divorce rates in New Jersey have increased since 1960 430%. It's going to be an alarming impact on the next generation because the generations as they're coming are developing such a cynical view toward marriage. In his book, The Millennial Generation, Dawson McAllister cites these statistics. One in two youth now live with a single parent in their childhood. One in three is born to unmarried parents. One in four is born in poverty. One in eight is born to a teenage mother. One in 25 lives with neither parent. What a joy it is as believers, as we then have the scriptures and we live as hope for this broken world, as we apply God's word as it relates to all of life, particularly to our marriage relationships. God's will is there be no divorce for believers. He's given the plan how that works. And now we're coming into the section in Ephesians on the Bible addressing our relationships in the home, marriage, and husband and wife, children, parenting. We'll be looking at these in the weeks to come. There is nothing like this document, Ephesians, in the ancient world. Here's the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul bringing great truth and changing this culture. And as we look at these verses, both for husband and wife, notice that these are our duties. These are not our rights. You don't read here about marriage for the wife and marriage for the husband. This is what's going to make you happy. This is what's going to make you fulfilled. These are your rights. These are your expectations. No, the Bible is addressing these are our duties. This is the calling that we have as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because ultimately you are doing this as unto the Lord, as the text says. This is going to be a response not primarily done to each other as husband and wife. This response, this calling, is primarily as done unto Christ. Today we're looking at the calling of the wife and what it is. Her calling is in the verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. We'll be asking the question, so what submission is not? It's important to ask that first, and then what is submission? Why is this so important in the relationship of Christ and the church? What submission is not? There's seven delineations here of what it is not, and it's important to clarify. because particularly in counseling, maybe of you, if you've spoken to others and you bring up the scriptures and this role of biblical submission, there's a pushback. Perhaps it's even a fear, certainly it's a misunderstanding. It sounds strange to our culture. And so we need to be clear, we need to be truthful, we need to be frequent. And what does the Bible say about this role? The role of the wife's submission is, first of all, not a submission of class. It's not a submission of all women to all men as a class. The Bible calls our sisters to submit only in the home and only in the church. 1 Timothy 2:12, women in the church are not to teach or to have authority over men, no ordained office, pastor, elder, or deacon in the church for women. And only in the church and only in the home. You notice in verse 22, Ephesians 5, she's to be submissive to her own husband. I don't know why the NIV dropped the little word own, but it's important. She's only submissive in her marriage to one man only, her husband. That protects her from all obligations and control by other men just because they're men. No, submission is not class. It's not submission of all women to all men. That's not the teaching of Scripture. And secondly, submission is not unique to the wife. Everyone must submit to someone. Submitting is not unique to the role of the wife. God's not calling Christian women to submit in marriage as if that's unique to all other relationships. It's already been stated, verse 21, we're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And here's the evidence of being, one of the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a mutual submission. We're all submitting to one another. So submission in marriage is not unique. Romans 13:1, everyone must submit himself. There it is again to the governing authorities, whether that's the government or military or child to a parent or student to teacher, athlete to coach, men or women in employment to your employer. We all take a vow in the Lord Jesus Christ to submit to the government of the church. Elders and deacons take vows to submit to one of their brothers in the Lord. We all submit to someone. It's not unique to the role of woman. Look at verse 24, Ephesians 5:24, as the church submits to Christ. We're all in submission to Christ, and so the wife does in marriage. It's very serious misunderstanding to think that submission is a unique role and calling that the wife has in marriage, period, as if no one else, no other place is there submission. No, everyone's called to submit somewhere. We all are called to submit. Submission is not unique to the wife. Submission is not worth. It's not a reflection of worth. It's a differentiation in role, but not person. Marriage is not a relationship of man to woman, superior to inferior. No, both men and women are equally created in the image of God, Genesis 1:27. If a husband doesn't believe that his wife is equally made and created in the image of God, he's going to be open to falling into abuse and treating her as an inferior. She is not an inferior. Submission does not mean that the wife is inferior, like she's an unpaid employee for her husband. Whenever there's exploitation of women, Christians need to be the first to say it's wrong. Men and women are created equally in the images of God, equal rights for educational opportunities, promotions, employment, and salaries. The Bible does not teach women inferior, does not teach it. Otherwise, you're going to be in danger of undermining the doctrine of the Trinity. 1 Corinthians 11:3, the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. A very close parallel between marriage reflecting the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal in power and glory. God the Son is not inferior as a being to God the Father. God the Holy Spirit is not inferior as a being to God the Son and God the Father. There's a differentiation in role. The Son voluntarily comes to fulfill the will of his Father and submits to his Father, but they're equal in their being and power and glory, and that's what marriage is modeled after, the Trinity. What about the text in 1 Peter 3:7 that says, she's the weaker vessel. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Well, two responses. One, if you look at the whole context, weaker vessel seems to be referring to her in her role as submission. Husband, in your role of authority and leadership, don't abuse her submission. Don't abuse her taking that role. You be very, very careful in your leadership. So it seems to be focusing primarily upon her taking that weaker role. But even if it's looking at her person, her makeup, just because it is a weaker makeup, it's just different. It doesn't mean that it's inferior. It doesn't mean that it's of less worth. Wouldn't we all say a Lennox fine china teacup is weaker than a sledgehammer? But a sledgehammer is no good for drinking tea. And there's beauty in that. Just because it's weaker doesn't mean it's inferior. So even if the text is saying, husbands, be careful. She's the weaker vessel. Even if it's referring to her makeup, which it doesn't seem to be primarily, but her role, even then, the text goes on, 1 Peter 3:7, she's a joint heir of grace, equally shares in the image of God, equally to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. When Adam saw Eve, he said, she's bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She's exactly like me. Submission, what is it? It's not class. All women to all men. It's not unique to the wife. It's not worth. Fourth, it's not blanket obedience. In Acts 5:29, when they were asked to sin, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. Colossians 3:18, her submission is only, quote, as is in fitting in the Lord. There's going to be times when she actually should not obey her husband. If he asks her to sin or to disobey Christ, or sign that IRS tax returns that she knows are fraudulent, or the false claim to the insurance company, or let's not attend worship this Sunday because let's plan a family function. She says, no, the Lord's Day, and I will be in worship. No, there's going to be times for her to say, I'm going to make my public profession of faith. Christ comes first before my husband. There's going to be times for her not to obey her husband. Submission is not blanket obedience. Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. Acts 28:18-26, when Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Did you notice the wife is listed first? Perhaps she was the primary teacher. At the very least, you can say that husband and wife as a couple corrected and taught Apollos. Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Sapphira died for following the sin of her husband and not obeying God, not rightfully opposing him, not calling his sin, sin. In contrast to the good example of Abigail, who stood against her foolish husband, or Esther, who stood against a sinful prime minister, submission is not blanket obedience. Submission does not mean she's resigned to silence and bitterness when her husband is wrong and sinning. And a godly husband is grateful God has given him a wife who will give him counsel and will bring him back to the scriptures and correct him. A wise husband is going to be humble and receive the correction of his wife, be grateful for her. Submission is not blanket obedience. Submission is not being homebound, as if the Bible teaches that the wife's place is to be the home only. The scriptures teach that the home is the wife's primary responsibility, but not limited to it. There's no, quote, job descriptions in the Bible. Those are cultural. Take our cultural concepts of what is a wife's duty and compare that to Uganda. You're going to see different cultural. The Bible doesn't give cultural lists of what a wife's duty is and a man's husband's duty is. It's not being homebound. Submission is not having no authority. Titus 2:5, the women wives are to be keepers at home. You compare that with 1 Timothy 5:14, wives are to rule or to guide, ESV translated, they're to manage the household. Masters of the home, they have authority over the running of the home. She's in charge of the running of the home, and her husband trusts her decisions and trusts her desires. Husband is going to be very unwise if he's going to let his perfectionism or he's going to let his insecurities or he's going to let his control try to micromanage his wife and tell her how to do the ironing and the cleaning and the shopping and back off. She's been given the management of the home. And the godly husband appreciates that, thanks her for it, praises her for it. And submission is also not cultural. It's not to say, well, that was just Paul and his Roman world, and we know better now, and now there's no roles in marriage. No, the Bible says that submission is tied to Christ and the church. It's not cultural. Verse 24, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Submission's not an option. It's part of God's design. It's reflecting the church and her relationship to Christ. And also we know that it's not cultural because it's tied to the creation order. Look at the last verse 31. And therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Creation was designed this way before sin. It's not cultural. It's tied to Christ and his church. It's tied to the creation order. Just as a parens, and we'll be looking at this more next week. Try to get your mind around this, that before sin, God established marriage to be the picture of a Savior dying for the sins of his church. God, before the fall of Adam and Eve, is already designing a picture of Christ and redemption. Look at that more next week. Husbands, your role of loving your wife is far more difficult than the wife submitting to her husband's. What submission is not? It's not class, it's not unique to the wife, it's not worth, it's not blanket obedience, it's not being homebound, it's not having no authority, and it's not cultural. What is submission in marriage? Let me give you three C's. It's contentment, it's a choice, and it's calmness, being calm. Submission is, first of all, a contentment to accept one's role's limitation. Every choice, if you choose this, you can't have that. If you choose to honeymoon in the Catskills, you can't honeymoon in Florida. A choice means that you can't do it all. You make that choice and you're content with that. The problem is that the world is telling us, well, yes, you can have it your way. Make a choice and no. There's options. And the wife comes to that place emotionally to be contented in marriage, that she's choosing to no longer be the authority that she was over her life as when she was single. There's going to be limitations. Of course there are. And she's content with that choice. Otherwise, don't marry. There's no sin in not marrying. Submission goes against the grain because it's a denial of self. It, like Jesus' teaching on the indissolubility of marriage, may make us say, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it's better not to marry. Matthew 19:10. If a Christian woman cannot submit herself to the man she would marry, let her not marry. Remain single and serve the Lord with a single-minded devotion. End of quote. Submission is, first of all, a contentment to accept the role's limitations. And secondly, then, submission is a choice to serve your husband's needs. It's a voluntary choice to enter marriage to serve the needs of her husband. Reading from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20 through 25. Genesis 2, 20 through 25, the man gave names to all the livestock and to all the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him, suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man said, it seems to be saying to God as an expression of worship, This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Everywhere in all of creation, Adam was alone. There was no one suited for him, fit for him, as the ESV says in verse 20. No one suitably matched for his loneliness. So what did God do? He created a woman perfectly suitable for him to meet his deep inner needs of personhood. That's her calling. It's a calling over her own ministry in the church. It's a calling over her career. It's a calling over the children. To take up that calling to meet the needs of her husband and his deepest needs as person. And so a woman, as she enters into marriage, needs to watch her own heart. What are her motives? What's driving it? I don't want to get in. I'm entering into marriage to be secure. I'm entering into marriage to be taken care of. And Lord willing, that will happen. But that's not the calling to enter into marriage for the woman. The woman's calling is, I'm going to enter into marriage by God's grace to meet one's man's deepest needs and to serve him as I am able. We're both husband and wife enter into marriage to meet each other's needs. Husbands, it's called love your wives. Wives, it's called submit to your husbands. But the core of it is the same. You're taking a choice to meet the deepest needs of the other person. So, husbands, do you let your wives know what your needs are so that they can minister to you? Wives, do you ask, how can I best minister to you? What are your needs? How can I care for you? It needs to be have that openness and transparency both ways, because that's the very heart of submission, to meet the deepest needs of her husband. It's a contentment to accept the limitations of the choice to marry. It's a choice to serve her husband's needs. And third, submission then is a calmness to trust her husband's authority, because it's a confidence in God's ultimate authority. You notice verse 23, it says, the husband is the head of the wife. It does not say the husband should be the head of the wife. It doesn't say the husband intends to be. No, he is. God has established it that way. He is. He's going to give an account for the home. He's going to stand before God and give an account for the spiritual life, not only the financial provisions, but the all ultimate decisions of the marriage. Yes, a good marriage is going to have open communication, solving things jointly, certainly. But at the end of the day, there's only one leader in the home, the husband, and he's going to give an account to God. And the wife is called to trust his leadership because God is the one behind him. She's ultimately submitting to God, who's ruling all authorities and all rulers. Reading from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, the Lord Jesus here is being held up as an example for the wife's role in marriage. I don't know if you've ever seen the connection before. 1 Peter 2:23, when he, Christ, was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Look at verse 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do not fear anything that is frightening. What's the parallel? Christ is being held up as being abused, going to his crucifixion, unjustly abused. What does he do? He's not afraid. He's committing his soul to his Father, who is going to even use this for his justice and his purposes. Wives likewise. What's the parallel? It's not wives accept abuse as Christ accepted abuse. The parallel is not abuse to abuse. Never should be physical or emotional abuse in a marriage, ever. You call the authorities, you call the church to be involved. What's the parallel? Christ was not afraid as he went to the crucifixion because he knew God was in charge. Wives, verse 6, don't be afraid, even of an unbelieving husband, even of a marriage where you think it's in chaos. Don't be afraid, because God is in charge. And he's going to use this, even this marriage, which is in a bad state, 1 Peter 3. He is the one in charge. There was an illustration in Esther chapter 4, verse 12. Remember, Mordecai was a person in submission. His life was at stake, not only his, but also the lives of all the Jewish people. He goes to Esther, who in God's providence is now the queen, and she has access to the king. He appeals to her. He is very frank with her, but he comes and he's calm. He says, Esther, you really need to go up to the king and you need to protect our lives. We are in danger. And she said, I don't know if I'll be accepted or not. Mordecai said to her, Esther 4:12, do not think because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. I'm not afraid. God will deliver us from another source if it's not you, Esther. But I'm appealing to you as my authority. You are the queen. And I'm appealing to you to do the right thing. But I'm not afraid, even if you blow it. Because God is the one behind you, directing you and ruling and overruling all of your decisions. And God's will is ultimately going to be done, and God's will is ultimately going to protect us. A woman who's struggling with submission to her husband is not really struggling with submission to her husband. She's struggling with submission to God. Do you really believe that God's in charge of all things, and he can use a husband like yours to accomplish his purposes? Do you really believe that? That's what submission in marriage is. You're not submitting to that man, ultimately. You're not even submitting to his role. You're submitting to God, who has said that he will work through this arrangement that he has established of husbands as wives. And so your obedience is in the Lord, Ephesians 5:22. 1 Peter 3:1, you submit to your own husbands so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won over without a word by the behavior of their wives. So how do you submit to a man you think is wrong? Here's six examples: not nagging him, complaining to others. Proverbs 19:13, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping. Proverbs 27:15, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. Don't nag, don't complain. 2, make a joyful willingness to meet his needs. Just as Christ to the Father, again, back to the Trinity, John 4:34, Christ said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Not in resentment, not in resignation. He delighted to do the Father's will. And so Proverbs 31:12, she does him good, her husband, not evil all the days of her life. She makes the home a safe place of encouragement. 3, quietness in the husband's decision-making. Not always correcting, not always improving, not always suspicious, not always doubting. Your husband's going to make mistakes. He's a sinner. You forgive him. You give your input. You give your thoughts from Scripture. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know that God's going to rule and overrule. 4, you develop loyalty in the children to their father. You praise and him and before the children. Don't undermine his authority. 5, when your husband has failed, don't take the teaching role, I told you so. Take the encouraging role. You know God's going to work even this for his glory. 6, tell him you respect him. And interesting how the verse, this passage closes, reminding the wife of her calling and uses this word as the summary of her calling. Verse 33, husbands, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. It's really the only explicit command that's given to the wife, as we'll see next week, as it's translated in our English translations, wives, submit to your husbands. The word submit is not there. It's implied by the context translators have put it in. The main command to the women is respect your husband. So what does that mean? It means to refrain certainly from disrespectful speech. When you're with other women, friends, do you disrespect your husband? Certainly that, but that isn't to respect your husband. It's a positive command. You don't obey a positive command by not doing the negative. Not disrespecting him is still neutral. You respect him. When's the last time you told your husband you respected him? Even your husband with all of his sins, there must be something there that you respect. And you can honor him. Tell him so. Ask him what you could do to communicate to him more that you do respect him. And tell him often, and tell him sincerely. This text, as we look at it, has a great application to our sisters among us in your state of marriage. What a privilege you have to model the gospel to your children. The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ has come. He's taken the initiative to seek out a bride who did not love him. And he loved us before we loved him, and he gave his life for us and died for us and forgave us our sins, and he's now conforming us to the likeness of Christ. And our role as the church is to what? To respond in love and gratitude. Why would you choose the likes of me? I love you. I follow you. I trust you. I obey you. That's the gospel, isn't it? In marriage, you women take the role of modeling before your children. This is what the church is called to do, to Christ. And so in my own stumbling ways, I'm going to try to model this to your dad, because this is what the church is called to minister to Christ. As wives take up this calling, submitting in the Lord, and husbands next week, as we take up the calling to love our wives, what's going to happen? It's going to bring us to the end of ourselves. We're going to say, I'm out of my own resources. This is very, very difficult. Absolutely. It's going to bring us to the end, not only of our self-sufficiency, but isn't it going to bring us back to chapter 5, 18? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to do this on your own power. You need the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, to be doing all of these things. And Paul is just taking that section 5:18 and just continuing it on, submitting to one another. Now let's talk about some real practical ways in marriage and home and parents and children. I think he's still tying back to 5:18. David Powelson said, is Christ's will difficult? Yes. It's utterly contrary to the way the whole world acts and reacts by nature and habit. Yes. It's contrary to the way you act and react by nature and habit. Yes. And will Jesus Christ help you? Yes and amen. If you aim for submission, when Christ calls you to submission, your life will thrive. Application to husbands here. We said it earlier, everybody has to submit somewhere. And you in your role, in your place of submitting to God's authorities over you, you're showing your wife how she should submit in the home. Think about it. You're calling to submit, for example, to your employer. Is it with contentment? I chose this job. I'm going to not complain. I'm going to embrace this as God's will, as his means to provide for us. I'm going to seek the best of my employer. I'm going to meet his needs. I'm going to do an honest work as unto the Lord. God has given me this job to take away my own dross and teach me holiness that he will not teach me any other place. I'm going to submit to my authority because I know God's ultimately behind my authority. How are you submitting in your roles? Because you are also modeling to your wife what it means to submit. We all need to confess where we've fallen short and come to Christ. Application for singles. Young women particularly, you must marry wisely. You've settled in your heart you're going to marry only in the Lord, and that's right, and that's good, and that's absolute. But I would challenge you, it's even more than that. You're only to marry a man that you can respect. He's going to be the head of the home, and if you can't trust him, and if you can't respect him, you should not marry him. If you don't know him long enough to even be able to trust him, it's not time to marry. Christian woman, if you are the older Christian in the relationship and you're marrying a younger man, a younger Christian in the faith, you need to give him time to grow up spiritually. He's going to be the head of the home. The home is of paramount importance. Christians should put more emphasis on their marriage relationship, the raising of children, and home life than on any other area of their day-to-day existence. If we really do not rally our forces on this most basic of all points, there is no hope for the future. Frankie Schaefer. Application to us all, verse 32. The mystery is profound. I'm saying, all this I'm talking about marriage, husbands and wives, I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church. Your role in marriage is not ultimately about marriage. It's about the gospel. It's about Christ and showing how the church responds to Christ. Husbands, next week, how Christ has loved us and given himself for us. So the question of the believer, how do you follow Christ, is your response. I love him because he's first loved me. He's given his life for me. I want to obey Christ with all of my heart and all of my soul. I want to please him. I want others to know about him. I want to speak with honor to him before others, and his respect should be shown to the world. That's the church's response of submission to Christ. And that's the godly woman's response in her marriage to show us what the gospel is. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the Lord Jesus and the scriptures which have shown us him and how he has submitted to you and is delighted to do your will. Thank you that the way of submission then is clear. You've taught us in the Lord Jesus. You've taught us in scripture. We know the problem is not the instruction. The problem is not the clarity from your end. The problem is our own lawless hearts. We pray for all of us that we will submit to the authorities that you've placed over us willingly, knowing that you ultimately are the ultimate authority, using all things for your glory. We pray for our sisters who are married, that they will embrace their calling again as unto Christ. We pray for the single women among us who desire to marry, that you will bring men into their lives who will be godly men, that they will find a delight to submit to and to follow and trust. Our Father, we ask that these mysteries of marriage will point us ultimately to Christ and the gospel. We pray in his name. Amen.